Welcome to Awakening Spirituality and Business Today, inspiring you to succeed with all your heart and soul. Your hosts today are Daniel Gutierrez, international business consultant, motivational speaker, and best-selling author, and Johnny Hernandez, proven business executive, passionate life and business coach, and founder of Living with Purpose, whose mission is to inspire teams and individuals to achieve their personal and professional best. Together, they'll light the path to help you achieve your absolute best. Without further ado, let's turn it over to Daniel and Johnny for today's illuminating discussion.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. What a beautiful day to be alive, huh? As everyone, for those who listen to this show regularly, know that my partner in crime and best buddy, Daniel, is not with us for the next couple of weeks. He's actually in Peru on a spiritual journey with about 20 other individuals, of some of which include children, and including Dan's boy, Aaron. And if you're not keeping up with him, I would encourage you to check out his Facebook page. He's posting on there quite frequently, and it looks like they're having an absolutely amazing time, not just full of all sorts of fun and enjoyment, but it looks like they're having an awful nice time with a lot of new experiences. So I'd encourage you to check it out. Again, Daniel, it's on Daniel's Facebook page. But it's going to be a great week. Actually, I want to apologize. My special guest was supposed to be Robert Stevens this week, who is the founder of Geek Squad. And due to a last-minute scheduling conflict, Robert and I are actually going to move his time to later in July. But he's looking really forward to showing up with us, and actually probably on a couple times in July potentially. So this week, we're talking about the 15 diseases of leadership according to Pope Francis. We're on number 6. And if you haven't read the article written by Gary Hamel from the Harvard Business Review, I would encourage you to check out my Twitter link. Go to livingwithpurpose.com, my Facebook, you name it, any of the social sites, the common social sites we typically engage in, you'll see the link on there. It's just an outstanding article. But number 6 states, according to Gary, there is also a sort of leadership Alzheimer's disease. It consists in losing the memory of those who nurtured, mentored, and supported us in our own journeys. We see this in those who have lost the memory of their encounters with the great leaders who inspired them, in those who are completely caught up in the present moment, in their passion, whims, and obsessions, in those who build walls and routines around themselves and thus become more and more the slaves of idols carved by their own hands. For those of us who've been in the business world, or quite frankly, you don't even have to be in the business world. I mean, as soon as you start talking about folks who become obsessed with or slaves of idols, focused on, let's just say, the tangible things in lives, more self-centered, egotistical, all those things typically come to mind. I'm sure there's individuals that pop right into our heads. And this isn't about passing judgment or anything else. This is the Pope's message here is really about, you know, isn't it crazy that when we finally start progressing in our careers, how it's so easy for us to forget those who helped us get to that space. So, but before we get into the dialogue today and start sharing some of my own perspectives, I want to make sure that I share the call-in number with you, because I'd love to hear from you. The call-in number for today is 347-677-1965. Again, 347-677-1965, and we're going to take callers here in a few minutes. We've already got a couple on the line. This is a great and passionate conversation for so many of us. But, you know, as I was thinking about this leading up to today's dialogue, a couple things came to my mind. And people say, you know, how does this happen, you know, to leaders? You know, they start out feeling so or seeming so well-intended, and as time goes on, they tend to become almost consumed by, you know, the whole money, power, the whole appeal of what all that brings to it. And I actually would contend that thinking. I'm not so sure that I've subscribed to it. I think you really have, in this case, 4 different types of leaders. I think you have the young leaders who have the right talent. They've got the right heart, a good heart, and they've got great intentions. What they lack is experience. And while they're going through their leadership journey, they make mistakes. And you know what? They occasionally forget to give the cordial thank you. They forget to maybe share as much positive recognition as maybe some of the what I would call the punitive accountability behaviors that you typically see in a young leader. But as they grow in their position, in their role, in their responsibility, they realize, or they it validates for them that really their people are their lifeblood. It's their success, and with that wisdom they evolve and eventually become what I would say is world class leaders. So I wouldn't throw those individuals and those young men and women into this at all. I would just say, you know what, that's more ignorance than anything else, and that comes with time. And then you have the natural leaders. And when someone immediately comes to mind, as all our listeners are out there, you can immediately identify with who this person is in your life. It's those individuals who represent humility. It's inclusiveness. It's the type of individual that it's clear that they cherish those who they are blessed to lead. In that environment, you know, you have high levels of recognition. Recognition can look like putting those employees up on the pedestal, giving all sorts of, whether it's in the performance reviews, pay increases, promotions, pats on the backs, attaboys, et cetera. But it also looks like recognition looks like accountability, and that's not common. I think in today's language, accountability has such a negative connotation goes with it. In recognition, it looks like both. And you know what? And accountability doesn't necessarily mean punitive. It means having those tough conversations because you do care about the individual, and you want to help them to be successful in the career. And in that environment, not just the recognition, but you have a high level of discipline and clarity. Those natural leaders, it just seems to just through osmosis, no matter how long they're tenured in their role, they put people at the highest levels of the priority and appreciation. And then you have the experts. And this is what's fascinating. I'll share a short story with you here, and I want to get onto some callers and get their points of view. But you have those subject matter experts who've never cared to be in a leadership role to begin with. But because they were so good at what they've done in their careers, just through the order of natural progression in so many organizations, they've been promoted. And they struggle. They struggle in leadership roles. Their people skills may not be of that which is of one should lead. And I'll share a conversation with you, an example here. I was speaking several years ago at NASA, believe it or not. And the event I was at, it was called it was a leadership forum. And I kid you not, I was to say I was the dumbest kid in the class was a gross understatement, because it was a gathering of 70 of the most intelligent engineers, scientists. Believe it or not, there was astronauts there, CIA, Secret Service, 70 of the brightest minds across the globe. And it was an amazing international event. It's something that NASA does every year. And it's all about inclusiveness and sharing of ideas. And they talk about projects that have went well. They talk about failures. I mean, they talked about the space shuttle explosions. I mean, it was almost surreal, because I mean, it was so over the top and so real in the dialogues they were having. But anyway, as I was speaking, we went into a breakout, and we were having dialogue about leadership and effective leaders. And anyway, the table I was at, there was about, I think it was 6 to 8 leaders there, and again, from all cross walks of life there. And one of them asked if it was a safe environment. And I said, of course it's a safe environment. And this individual had a very high-level role within the organization, and said, you know, I never wanted to be a leader, and to this day I still don't want to be a leader. And ultimately where he took the dialogue was that he loved his job. He thinks NASA is the greatest organization in the globe, and actually it's the greatest international organization, I guess you would say, as opposed to just an American organization. But his point was, because he was so good at what he did in engineering, that he was promoted. He was promoted, got to the point where he was no longer doing engineering, and he was leading. And what was so ironic about it was, he said, the reason I got into engineering was because I struggled in leadership and how to be an effective leader, and unfortunately my employees are the ones that suffer from it. And I think that's so crazy, that we as leaders, as well as we as employees, I mean, when someone comes to you and tells you that you've done a really nice job, our natural tendency is to say, you know, thank you, sir. May I have another, right? More money, more title, all of those things, until all of a sudden you find yourself in this whirlwind. You're like, how the hell did I end up in this job when this isn't even what I signed up for to begin with? And those things I love most passionately, I'm not getting the opportunity to do anymore. So in my mind, those three groups of leaders don't count. The circle of individuals I believe the Pope was addressing are those who primarily care about three things. And they've carried about these three things right from the beginning, from the point they were some point in childhood. And it's, one, how do they look to their boss? Two, how do they look to their company and anyone actually in terms of the public forum that they would engage with? And three, how does it affect them and themselves, their family, their pocketbook, the perception of them within their own circle. The challenge with this is it's so easy to see through, and for these leaders, it's a common point of conversation. You know, they talk about the water cooler dialogue, and it's very typical for these leaders to pump their chest out, brag, and sadly enough, not disproportionately share the success that they've received with their employees. And the type of interaction and exchange you'll have with those employees, it's when it's convenient for them, it's when it's on their agenda, and quite frankly, when you have that dialogue with them, if it's 30-minute conversation, 20 to 25 minutes of it's about them, and the other 5 minutes it's what they need of you, with little left in terms of in sharing how much they appreciate it. So I'm excited to hear from some of our listeners today. And why don't I jump to the lines right now, and I want to take a call here from, it looks like, the West Coast. Are you there, caller?
I am. A question that I have for you is, when you're looking at the changing workforce and leadership with millennials, what would you recommend as some of the some great nuances to use with leading and developing and recognizing that kind of team?
I think that's an awesome. Actually, thank you very much, caller. I really appreciate that. And you know, so much of our show, we talk about, if you listen to any other episodes, we talk about the millennials and how the environment's changed so much. And so many of us were raised from the thought process that, you know, you've heard me say this before, is, you know, you go out, you get a good job, you keep your mouth shut, you always show up, you're never late, you never ask for a promotion, you never ask for a raise, you're never sick, so forth and so on, and everything will take care of itself, where the millennials today are shaping things like company policy. And they're having dialogues when they're doing the interview. You know, we would always be taught, well, ask, you know, go in with your one or two questions to be prepared to ask in the interview. They're coming in, and the interview is twice as long now because they're spending as much time asking the human resource or the leader they're sitting in the interview with as many questions as they were asked. And what I think so relevant about this generation of leaders is, flat out, they're going to refuse to work for an organization and or a leader that behaves in that way. They're just not going to tolerate it. And what's so fascinating is the old paradigm of, you know, the old belief that it's always easier to look for a job when you have a job. It's not that they don't care, and I don't know that, you know, they have less fear. I think they've got more courage, and I think they're more confident in their abilities. And I think it's, you know, you can call it part of it. It's due to the whole social media interaction. But I ultimately believe that the millennials today are truly going to shape and help accelerate one of two things. Those companies that show up on the list of Fortune 100 best companies to work for, they're going to continue to drive performance and ultimately the profits for those organizations. And those companies that, if they ever took a vote on the 100, the 1,000, the 10,000 worst companies to work for because of the employee experience, they're going to drive them right out of business because the best leaders aren't going to work for them. And so I think in many ways it's going to accelerate just what typically would take, you know, a full generation and or at least a portion of a generation. It's going to push them through that life cycle much, much faster. But that's a great question. Do you have a point of view on that? Are you still there, caller? I think I lost him. Well, hopefully that was helpful, but thanks for the call there. Let's jump to another caller. Let's see. Good afternoon, caller.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Fantastic. Hey, thanks for calling in. So what's your perspective on this whole topic?
So I think it's really interesting to talk about millennials. I'm in my early 30s, and I'm a leader at a great organization. I'm really lucky. But I think that, you know, it's really interesting now because along with the other leaders in my facility, we're starting to see younger and younger leaders. And it's been exciting because we're really starting to explore servant leadership and what that looks like. And to bring that to leaders who, you know, is around their 50s, that age range, it's been kind of exciting to see their response, but yet, you know, they've started to embrace it along with us, and the response from the teams as a result of that. So while it can be a little bit scary to some groups of people, I think that, you know, these younger leaders that are coming in now are really starting to light up things and, you know, bring some really fun concepts to leadership. And it doesn't have to be that negative connotation that it once was, or, you know, in some places, not everywhere, of course.
I would agree. And I think that that is part of what excites me. I mean, it used to be, you know, when you go and do a team building event, you know, it kind of be the old atypical thing, right? Everyone goes out and does the typical, I don't want to say chauvinistic approach, but you know, everyone goes out golfing together, right? And you go out in groups of four, and it's not as a whole team. Where today, you know, you take the whole team out, they're doing things like going to trampoline parks and, you know, things that are far more interactive and young spirited. I mean, it's just absolutely fascinating. So is the lion's share of your employees, would you consider millennials? Are they the older generation, or because you sound like you're fairly young?
We have quite a mix, but it's becoming more and more millennials. And I think as you see that, it pushes the organization to start to identify that, because if we don't, like you say, I think we'll lose those people, because they're looking to be associated with an organization that's going to treat them well and treat them respectfully. But, you know, the most important part, I think, is really relating to people and situation as a human being. And, you know, while there's accountability, I think it comes a lot easier when those relationships are built and that ground is laid.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think it's fascinating that when you actually have a conversation with these types of, I'm very, very fortunate because I get to speak to leaders from all different age groups, whether it's the life coaching or just your casual conversation or folks that I just meet in social sites. And it's so interesting to me. It's the change of thinking. And I'll give you an example. I had lunch sort of a week ago, maybe a little bit more, with a woman locally who is, I'm just mesmerized. I'm just fascinated because in every way, shape, and form, she's an entrepreneur. And she's fought this old stigma where, you know, the family, the friends, everyone and their brothers says, you know, take the safe route, take the safe route, take the safe route, and, you know, go work for another organization and, you know, play it safe. And instead, she's bucked the system and said no. But what's interesting is when you engage with individuals, leaders, men and women who think like that, it's just a different energy. It's a completely different energy, and the more you interact with them, the more infectious it is. And companies who surround themselves with like-minded leaders—I'm not saying I'm in. When I say like-minded leaders, very, very clear what I mean here. I mean folks with the same passion, energy, collaborative mindset, and desire to win. And the more often we do this, and part of this is you've got to think inclusively. You've got to be putting yourself in the state of, in a frame of mind that part of the beauty of identifying and holding this in any organization is through the diversity of people, you know. And I'm not speaking just race. I'm not speaking just gender. It's not just what I'm speaking about, although I am speaking about those. I mean, it's those unique it's those things that make each one of us unique that help drive this type of behavior and this change of thinking. So, well, thank you so much for the call. I really appreciate it, and have yourself a great day.
You too. Thank you.
Let's take another call here. Good afternoon.
Well, hello. How are you today?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks. Listening to this awesome broadcast.
Well, thank you. Well, you sound awfully chipper, so you have a point of view on this conversation?
Yeah, I have many, so I'll try to scale back a little bit, and then I'll lob a question at you as well. But my thought process are a couple of things. Whenever I hear the term leader, I think oftentimes in our workplaces we associate a hierarchy to a leader. And in my mind, I try to separate those as often as possible, because we can have someone that isn't in a hierarchy position, a director, a manager, a vice president, that can still lead and be able to lead through just a different means. And they have that capability within them. And so I think that, you know, as we're looking at what the future generation of leaders are, it's really who are we seeing step up into a space where they're showing us a vision and giving us a direction to move towards that vision, and then understanding what it means to manage people and what that management role really looks like. And they can be the same person, but they don't have to be the same person. And I don't know if you have a perspective on that, but the question I wanted to lob to you was, you know, where do you think emotional intelligence plays into this? Because when I think about the leader that you described as an engineer that worked his way up and kept getting promoted because he had great skills, he also seemed very emotionally intelligent to what his deficits were as far as leading people. And so my curiosity would say, well, what did he do or what did he put in place to help his people? Because he seemed very emotionally intelligent.
Gal, that's a great question. Holy cow. You should actually be a regular part of this show. That was all a great point. So I guess I would begin with the first thing. I think leaders show up in various ways. And we say this on the show all the time, and I think it's important to understand that this show isn't just for, you know, Fortune 50 executives. As a matter of fact, you don't even need to own a business to have this dialogue, because whether you're a homemaker, a student, regardless, in some way, shape, or form, if you ever inspire, motivate, or work with others to achieve an outcome and take a role in which you're taking initiative and helping drive this, you're a leader. And I love your perspective. A leader doesn't have to be the one with the title. So if you're in a room of five individuals and one of them is a CEO, CFO, CIO, and you got a line-level employee in there and a senior director, that line-level employee at that point could be the leader. And not just the leader of the dialogue, but the individual where, in this particular case, where the insights reside. And so for me, I think that's what's so inspiring, is you don't need a college degree to be a leader. And you certainly don't need to have a wealth of experience to be a leader. We see it in children, as young as elementary school. So to your point, I love the concept of leaders are going to show up in different ways at different times. And even within the same leadership team or within the same working group, it's going to be interchangeable. And I think that's the beauty of a highly functioning and performing team, is when you have that, there is no such thing as jealousy. Where in this environment, when we talk about this Alzheimer's disease, it's an incredibly corrupt, unhealthy, kind of that whole icky feeling, because it's all about one person. And the collaboration and the teamwork comes when they're either all together complaining or feeling intimidated or worried about what their future looks like based on this individual's leadership. And it's not they do it because they love him or her. It's they do it because they need the paycheck. And in some cases, they're just too damn scared to leave. And so you talk about the emotional intelligence. You know, it's interesting you say that. I was just reading an article in Time Magazine. It's been within the last 3 weeks. And the article, actually, believe it or not, it was talking about IQ, and then it was our good old-fashioned IQ, which we all grew up with, right, measurement of intelligence. And it was talking about the whole emotional intelligence, and now they're talking about XQ, and they haven't actually even formally named it. So for the meantime, they're talking about XQ, which, believe it or not, has to do with more around how you extrapolate and start thinking about things just in general. So rather than the old questions, tell me about your three strengths and weaknesses, right? They would ask you a question about what's your perception of why the sky is blue? Completely unscientific. And things that are far more subjective and from an opinion perspective than ever before. And they say more and more organizations where you used to sit down and do the hour-long, or today you do sit down and fill out an hour-long online questionnaire, tick for a job. So many more companies now are coming out of the woodwork, creating these types of employee surveys to get at how does this person think. And it's fascinating. So when you mentioned about this gentleman, it was at NASA. He was very well aware of where his shortcomings were. He was very clear on where his strengths were. His discouragement and where he was looking for answers, believe it or not, was he was still trying to solve how does he do the job? And that environment, when you work for an organization like that, government funded and so forth and so on, this leadership forum is something they all look so forward to because they don't do as much in the personal development space there. So unfortunately, in his case, He was one of those kind of looking for a life jacket, saying, can you kind of work with me and maybe help me understand how do I motivate, how do I inspire, when's the appropriate time to recognize, when's the appropriate time to slap in the hand. And I would share this with you. Since that time, I can tell you, Edward Hoffman is the project manager for NASA and absolutely one of the coolest dudes on the face of this planet. He's been working diligently to try and incorporate some of those things within NASA in all arms, all rooms and corners of the organization. So even in that large of an organization, someone you think where there's no fault, they all need work and they're doing a really nice job. But thanks so much for the phone call. I really appreciate it. I hope to hear from you again soon, especially actually all the callers. Great points. We love it when you call in and share your opinions with us. Before I go, though, next week's we're going to disease number 7. And I would ask that if you haven't, in fact, read this article, I, again, would encourage you to go and check it out because they continue to get better as the weeks go on. And, you know, I know there's a lot of noise out there. You talk about Pope Francis. And now, of course, here comes all the sharpshooters talking about the whole encyclical dialogue that Pope Francis is going to have here very soon about protecting the planet, our world, and just life in general. And it's fascinating just because people now are always saying, well, what gives him the right, et cetera, et cetera. And I think, I guess from my perspective, it's not just because I'm Catholic, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find anyone that doesn't think directly where the Pope's going, doesn't believe this isn't a positive thing. So I guess we're running out of time here, folks, but what I do want to leave you with is this. In today's environment, I would encourage you that if you can reach out and you can touch someone in a positive way, whether it's recommending them to this radio show, whether it's recommending a constructive read, or whether it's even going out and having a coffee with them, it's the type of dialogue that we need to continue to have around positive energy, around inspiring others to take risks, and quite frankly, we just need to come together more often. And in a world where there's so much going on in social sites, you know, I was talking to my son. I happened to be in Michigan this week moving him, part of his relocation. You know, and it's great to actually sit down and have dialogue with him because I realized, you know, as I'm hanging out with him, it's been a few months since I've seen him, that so much of our conversation is by way of text or social media. So I want to thank those who actually picked up the phone, called in today to engage. I encourage our other listeners to do the same. And by all means, if you have ideas for Daniel and I for future topics and or even guests, quite frankly, let us know. But in the meantime, thank you so much. I hope you have yourself a fantastic day. God bless, and we'll talk soon. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Awakening Spirituality in Business Today with Daniel Gutierrez and Johnny Hernandez. To provide feedback, listen to more episodes, or learn how Daniel and Johnny can help you in your business, visit their websites at livingwithpurpose.today or danielgutierrez.com. You can also call them directly at 1-805-764-1463. Thank you again for listening. The personal fulfillment and professional success you've been searching for is within your reach. Lead with your heart and live a life of purpose today.